Prodigal means generous. Prodigal means crazy, over the top generous. And in this story, which is about the father, it's not about either one of the sons. The prodigal one is the father. He was crazy, over the top generous when his younger son came to him and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance." Now, in this day and time, the older brother got two-thirds of the estate and the younger brother got one-third. The older brother got a double portion. If there were seven, the older brother got two-sevenths and all the other brothers got one-seventh of the estate. So this younger brother walked away with a third of the family's wealth and went a long ways away. Well, he showed some prodigal tendencies by being crazy, over the top, generous where he was in ways that he turned out not to be proud of. If you look up the word prodigal in Merriam-Webster, you know what word it uses to describe it, to define the word prodigal? Lavish. If you look up the word lavish in Merriam-Webster, you know what word it uses to define lavish? Prodigal. So let's think in those terms. Let's grasp today how amazing God is from the standpoint of his over-the-top generosity. First of all, God lavishes on his children his welcome. Now, younger son impoverished the family by taking a third of the wealth. Younger son shamed the family by going off and doing things that the family was not proud of. Younger son turned back. And when he came home, I'll try not to cry. This story always moves me. Dad was looking way down the road, hoping, praying, expecting the day when younger son would come home. And Dad threw caution and dignity and everything else to the wind. In this culture, it was unthinkable that Dad would gather up his robes and run toward his son. And he did. And he threw his arms around him. And son was busy making an apology. And you and I would agree that the son owed an apology. But Dad wasn't even listening. He was calling the servants. "Hey, bring that robe. Hey, bring that ring. My son is home." He gives us a welcome no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how we've spent our resources, which are really his resources. He gives us a welcome. And if this is the first time you've come face to face with the fact that God will welcome you with open arms, he will come running to you when you turn your heart toward him. Not bringing anything, not offering anything. We don't have anything he wants except us. He wants us to hang out with him. He wants to be with us. And that's why the father was so excited when the younger son came home, because he could be together again. If this is the first time you've realized that God has that kind of welcome for us, for everyone, just turn to him from your heart. It's not something you need my help with. But if you want words to go with that, just tell him, "Heavenly Father, I know that what the Bible says about you is true. And I know that what the Bible says about me is true. I'm not worthy. I accept the free gift of relationship your son Jesus paid for with his own life." And by turning to him from your heart, you can enjoy that amazing, over-the-top, generous welcome from the prodigal father. He lavishes on his children a welcome. You know what? Jesus used everyday things to teach us about our relationship with God. Now, I'm pretty sure that Jesus didn't have a motorcycle. I know Joshua did. He had a Triumph. You know that. But I think this ignition switch can teach us something about what we've just learned about God, that God lavishes on his children his welcome. I had a motorcycle, and I loved it, and I rode it, and I rode it carefully. You know what? It's fun to ride even if you ride it like a gentleman. And the ignition switch needed replacing. And so I was amazed to find out that it wouldn't cost very much, and I had the work done. And I was completely amazed at how everything on the motorcycle worked better when I replaced the ignition switch. The turn signals worked better. It started better. The lights worked better. Everything worked better when the ignition switch was new. And the son, the younger son, far away, found out that everything in life works better if you turn your heart toward Dad. If we turn our hearts toward God, I'm not saying everything will be fine. The Bible doesn't say that everything went well for the younger son after he came home. There was trouble, but Dad was there. They worked through the trouble together. And that's what God promises us. God does not promise us that everything will be fine. But the joy of relationship makes everything better. And being together and being able to work through everything together and being able to fly to his lap and lean our heads on his shoulder and be comforted is what makes everything work better. When you get the ignition switch of relationship, when you turn your heart toward him, that welcome is amazing. There's more. In this story, we see that the prodigal father lavishes on his children his own power. You say, where do you find that? Well, didn't he ask for the ring to come and be put on his son's finger? That's power in those days. And the robe was a symbol of status. The son was restored to his position in the family, which was a position of power. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus said, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. You say, yeah, I tried that and it didn't work. Okay. Well, consider this. The more time you spend with God, the more you understand his heart. The more time you spend with God, the more you realize what his purposes and his goals and his direction is, not only for your life, but for the world. And it may be that in order to spend time with God and understand his heart, we have to unplug, take out the earbuds to spend time with him, to focus our attention on him and not be distracted by a lot of the things that go on. Now, I'm not saying you can't have Christian music going through the earbuds. Don't get me wrong. But too often, we allow ourselves to be distracted. And we don't spend time with God. Like he has a passion for personal relationship with us. And when we spend time with him, we can understand what his purposes are. Did you notice Jesus said, asked in my name? If I ask for something that I want, James tells me exactly what I'm going to get. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lusts. But if I ask for something that God wants, and it's according to his glory, and it's moving his purposes forward for my world, I will receive, and my joy will be full. That's the kind of power that the Father lavishes on his children. In this story of the prodigal father, we find that God lavishes on his children the privileges of family. The younger brother was restored. And the older brother was mad. And both brothers had the privileges of being members of the family. The older brother said, I have done everything you wanted and you never gave me a party. And the father's response means you could have had a party anytime you wanted. You've always been with me, and all that I have is yours. Wow. Those are the privileges of family. God lavishes on his children the privileges of family. Bought a car. Didn't cost very much. Was working in the back. I think I was cleaning it out. I do clean it out once in a while. And in the back, there was this thing on the side. What is that? Well, you pull the little hatch off, and oh, that's the filler for the rear window washer. I'd been driving the car for a year, maybe 2 years. Didn't use the window washer because I didn't know where the filler was. Thank you. The older brother did the same thing with his privileges. He was ignoring them. He was focusing on the list of things that he was doing to make the father happy instead of focusing on the father and the relationship that they had and enjoying the privileges of being a son, of being a part of the family. So don't miss the privileges that God offers us. For instance, but to all who would receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You say, wow, amazing relationship. We're back to turning your heart toward God. We're back to beginning the relationship that God has a passion for by turning your heart toward him. And if you do, you begin a lifelong, permanent relationship. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sons can get kicked out of the family. Yeah, but you know what? They don't stop being sons. They get disowned. Their legal status is different, but they're still sons. They're still daughters. And Jesus made sure that we understood that he intended the metaphor to be permanent in John chapter 8 when he said a servant doesn't last in the family forever, but a son is in the family forever. So it's not only relationship, but it's permanence. There's more. Privileges of family that God lavishes on his children as we gaze into his face, we're transformed to be like him. Isn't it fun to see family resemblance? Well, the family resemblance we get to see has to do with spending time with him. And he lavishes on his children the privilege of becoming more and more like Jesus. He also gives us access. We can come right into his presence boldly and ask for what we want, get the help we need, because that's one of the privileges of family. The prodigal one is the father. The one who is over the top, amazingly generous, gives us welcome, gives us his power, gives us relationship. Now, there are some things that this idea is not. This is not a blank check. I'm not saying that God means for you to drive a Cadillac. Maybe you do. Maybe he provided you one. I'm not saying that whatever we ask for, we'll get. Jesus said that if we ask in his name. This concept is not the older brother's list. Well, Dad, I did this for you, and this for you, and this for you, and I've been faithful. Don't focus on the list. Please, focus on the Father who is prodigal in his generosity. What this idea does mean is that God is amazing. I hope you experience the bliss of grasping that our Father is prodigal, over the top generous, in his welcome, in his power, in the privileges of family. Don't miss out just because you don't know where the filler neck is in the back of the car. Spend time with him. Focus on him. Turn your heart toward him. Undistracted time. So that the sweetness of your communion will result in joy. That's what he means for us to have, is joy. Let's pray.